Turning to the 103rd Psalm this morning, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Maybe you're like me and remember Brother William Shields turning us to this psalm. Must be at least over a year ago. The pastor's been here a year. Maybe it's 2 years ago, I don't know. But I couldn't get past it. I've been looking at this psalm for some time. And I want to turn to it again this morning. Psalm 103, reading from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Pray again the Lord will bless the public reading of this great psalm this morning. It's a psalm of David, one of the best known psalms and best loved psalms in the Psalter. Someone has said it is a favorite vehicle of thankful praise among the pious of all ages. Matthew Henry, commentator, says that this psalm calls more for devotion than for exposition. Indeed, C.S. Spurgeon says there's too much in it. There's too much in the psalm for 1,000 pens to write about. No date can be determined as to when or in what stage of David's life it was penned, though it would seem to be penned possibly in latter years, because David seems to be writing as a mature man who is now very much aware of the frailty of life. It seems to be the work of a mature man who's enjoying and appreciating the blessings that come from God, whether they be spiritual, temporal, physical, and eternal. It suits any believer, and it applies to all of us this morning. No matter what stage of life we're at, no matter what condition we're in, at all times, even today, we can all praise the Lord. And we have much to be thankful for. And it begins with this great declaration, bless the Lord, O my soul. Verses 1 to 5 seems to be a little section where the psalmist sings of personal mercies received from God. It's personal. Verses 6 to 19, it seems to open up, and it's general or national. He refers to Moses and the children of Israel. He draws to a close 2022, where he calls for universal praise. It's universal. He calls on the heavenly host, and indeed he calls on all to bless the Lord along with them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word bless, the Hebrew, bless, the equivalent Greek word apparently is eulogio. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation or not. But it's from that word, that Greek word eulogio, that we get eulogize in our English. And when you're eulogizing someone, you're singing their praise. Last time I was speaking to Dennis Lyle, former pastor, he happened to say to me, he says, I was talking to a man the other day who was singing your praises. Well, I didn't get carried away with that, I tell you. That man doesn't know me as well as he thinks he knows me, or as well as I know me. But when you sing somebody's praises, you say you're eulogizing them. Bless the Lord. Sing the praises of the Lord. Whenever we declare, bless the Lord, celebrate with praises the Lord, oh my soul. What a declaration. Celebrate with praises. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I say it opens up very personal. Whenever we quote the 23rd Psalm, we home in on that word, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, certainly for this psalm, it's my soul. When did we last truly bless the Lord? When did we last celebrate with praises the Lord? Oh, my soul, this is a spiritual exercise. And it's personal. It's not something a father can do on behalf of the family. In my case, it was mother on behalf of the family. But a father should lead the family, isn't that so? In our house, it was mother who ensured that we were brought up in the nurture and admonition of the things of God. It's a great blessing to have a saved mother. It's a great blessing to have saved parents. But a father or a mother can't bless the Lord on behalf of the family. A pastor can't bless the Lord on behalf of his flock or assembly before him. The church choir, a church choir can't bless on behalf of the congregation. It's, oh my soul. Personal. We all have an individual responsibility or a personal obligation. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's like salvation. Nobody can do it for you. You have to trust Christ for yourself. We can't leave celebrating with praises our God unto someone else. Comes from within. David declares, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he says, and all that is within me. It's not whole, it's not half-hearted, you know. It's wholehearted praise. Mind, body, heart, strength, faculty, every sense, muscle, sinew, all that is within me. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. He's worthy of honor, isn't he? Worthy of glory and worthy of praise is he. Then he says, and forget not, and forget not. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not. Don't miss the holy name. Let's remember that he's a thrice holy God. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Let's not forget. I think maybe that's one of the reasons this psalm has been on my mind. We are at that time of the year we talk about Remembrance Day or Remembrance Season, when we remember those who give their lives for their country. It's a time of year of remembrance. For me, in recent years, it's become a time of year for remembrance personally. Father-in-law called home on the 17th of November. My own mother called home on the 17th of November, some years apart. But it just seems to be a season now where I seem to be remembering and reflecting. And David calls for all of us not to forget to praise God, not to forget all that God has done for us. Believers, on the first day of the week, we gather as the disciples of old to remember the Lord. Jehovah, he called to redeemed Israel in Deuteronomy 6. He says, "Beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from out of the hand of the house of bondage." In Psalm 106, if we were to turn a couple of pages over, they remembered not the multitude of his mercies. Psalm 106, I think it's verse 13, it says, "They soon forgot his works." So the call goes out this morning. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And David opens up this tremendous psalm of praise and he says, "Celebrate with praises. O my soul, the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Sing his praises, bless his holy name. And bless the Lord, O my soul." And then he says, "And forget not. And forget not all his benefits." If you were to ask David at that point, what exactly do you mean by benefits? Well, then he just gives us some examples. And it seems to me that he then just seems to rattle off one after the other. He says, "Who forgiveth all thy transgressions? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities?" He says, "Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things?" Notice a semicolon after each of those. Succinct, one after the other. Oh, what blessings we have. Benefits. Forget not all his benefits or his deeds or his dealings with us, those blessings that he has dealt to us. And so you see five. They read to me like headlines. "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities?" We've much to praise God for. "Who healeth all thy diseases?" And so on. The commentators will tell you that it starts off personal, and then it moves into like general, down the psalm, and then it finishes up with universal praise. I want to suggest, it seems like this to me, that David, he says, "Who healeth all thy, who forgiveth all thy iniquities." And then further down the chapter, he expands on that. And he says, "Who healeth all thy diseases?" And I think I think there's a verse or two where he expands on that as well. And so while we get the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at the start of the psalm, we get a little bit more on each of those benefits that he mentions. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. When you come down then further in the psalm, yes, he talks about Israel. He made known his, to Moses, he made known his ways and his acts to the children of Israel. But then he says in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, as the heaven is higher than the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So David says, bless the Lord. Celebrate with praises. Forgiven all our iniquities. What type of forgiveness is that? Just, what exactly do you mean, David, he forgiveth all thy iniquities? Well, he says, as far as the east are from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from him. What a salvation is ours this morning. He has forgiven us all our iniquities. Didn't deal with us after our sins. So great is his mercy. The east and west, they never meet. To all that are oppressed. In verse 6, he says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That's the gospel in that verse, isn't it? Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. What a forgiveness. And it's all founded upon God's mercy. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great. Mercy, this psalm was full of the mercy of God, references to the mercy of God. Mercy there was great, grace was free, pardon multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Then the next point David made was this, he says he healeth all thy diseases. I think when you come down the chapter, and you look into 13 and 14, he says a little bit more about that. He reminds us a little bit more about that. He healeth all thy diseases. Exodus 15 we read, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalm 147 verse 3 says that he healeth the broken in heart and he bindeth up their wounds. How does the Lord go about healing our diseases? Is he equipped to heal our diseases? He certainly is. Verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. We have not a high priest this morning who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, tested as we are, yet without sin. He knows our frame. He's the great physician. Surely he can heal all our iniquities, whatever they might be. As a father, he knoweth our frame. I wonder this morning, are you here? Maybe you're in need of healing. Maybe there's an aching heart this morning, or a fainting soul. Maybe you're here this morning and you're oppressed with doubts, or you're weak and worn and heavy laden. Maybe it's spiritual backsliding. Maybe you're just walking afar off. Maybe you failed the Lord this week. Maybe it's a smile on the outside but gloomy within. Well, we've much to praise the God for, because David says he healeth all thy diseases. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. That's it. He's the one that made us, isn't he? Surely he knows our frame. I love the old hymn that says, he found me bruised and dying, and he poured in oil and wine, and he whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. Never heard a sweeter voice. Made my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me, and oh, the grace that brought me, and oh, the love that sought me, oh, the grace that brought me, and oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. We used to sing, oh, aching heart, with sorrow torn, thy Lord is near, he knows. That's what this psalm says. He knows. He knoweth our frame. O fainting soul with doubts oppressed, thy Lord is near. He knows all about that too. O lonely one, live thou thy best. Thy Lord is near. He knows. Whatever problem we have this morning, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Whatever the disease might be, doubt, fear, anxiety, whenever we fall, whenever we fail, he knows. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. Then he says, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. The word there is kinsman, redeemer. He has then more to say about life in verses 15 and 16. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall remember it no more. He redeems our life from destruction. Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. The wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that find it. Oh, but we bless God this morning. We celebrate with praises, O my soul, and all that is within me, because he has redeemed our life from destruction. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Kinsman, redeemer, one who died in our stead, one who paid our debt, redeemed our lives from destruction. Last week I visited the ancestral home of John Wesley, and Wesley as a young boy was rescued from a burning house fire, taken out of the top window, and apparently throughout his life those words from Amos chapter 4, a firebrand plucked from the burning, made a tremendous impact upon him. A firebrand plucked from the burning. We give thanks this morning, don't we, for our Redeemer, my Redeemer. We were sunk in ruin and sin and misery and bound by Satan's captive chain and guided by his artful treachery and hurrying on to endless pain. But my Redeemer plucked me as a brand from hell. Oh, we've much to praise God for this morning. Bless the Lord. Sing the praises of the Lord. Oh, my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. And bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all our iniquities. He healeth all our diseases. He redeemeth our life from destruction. And it says, and he crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Verse 17 in the Psalm. But the mercy of the Lord, that word mercy is loving kindness. That word mercy is loving kindness. It is it's the same word that we have in verse 4. He crowneth thee with loving kindness, tender mercy. And then he expands on that again, I think, in verse 17. He says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Lavished upon such unworthy heads, loving kindness, tender mercies. When I was thinking of the loving kindness, I couldn't help but think of lovely word that Paul gave us around the table, Paul McCreary, when he turned to 2 Samuel chapter 9, that story of David reaching out in loving kindness and tender mercy to Mephibosheth, the enemy. And that chapter opens up with the words, that question that is sounded out by David. He says, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And further down that chapter, I think it's verse 4, when he speaks to the servant, he asks again. He says to the servant, is there yet any that's left of the house of Saul? And he says this, that I might show the kindness of God unto him. David reaches out to his enemies. He says, I want to show them kindness. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, Psalm 40, and established my goings. And I've put a new song in my mouth, I tell you. What kindness. The 23rd Psalm, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Then he says, and who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? And then he adds this little bit, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The last point he made of what I sort of think of those like that read like five headings, five little succinct points, one after the other. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. What is it that satisfieth the soul? It's to do with the soul, you know. It's all to do with the soul. Spiritual blessings. Psalmist says, O taste and see the Lord's good. The word of God satisfies the soul. The written word, I and the incarnate Word, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. In Exodus 19 we read this. It says, I will bear you on eagle's wings and bring you unto myself. There's a little description in Proverbs 23. It says, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. What is it that truly satisfies? Isaiah asks the question in Isaiah 55 verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. What is it that satisfieth the soul? Psalm 105 says, the people, they asked, they cried out, and he brought them quails, and he satisfieth them with the bread of heaven. Lifted up. This fifth point, this final benefit, we're pardoned, forgiven, healed, redeemed, crowned, lifted. Satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed as the eagle's. The picture of the eagle, that bird that soars highest in the heavenlies. Verse 19, further down the psalm. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. I think David gets taken up with things above. He satisfieth the mouth with good things, just like an eagle. He lifts us up to where he wants to draw nearer to heaven. The Lord has prepared his throne in heaven, pressing on my upward way. New heights gaining every day. Still praying as I am onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. David gets taken up with the higher ground. As this psalm draws to a close, what is it that satisfieth the soul? Ecclesiastes. The world is searched. Everything under the sun. But nothing to satisfy. It's all vanity of vanities. It's all vexation of spirit. What a difference in the Song of Solomon. The Shunammite damsel. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. And I went out and I searched for him. Him whom my soul loveth. Then she says, well, when I found him whom my soul loveth, I held him, would not let him go. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Yes. David, I think, he's left it up. And he started to think of things above. What is it that satisfieth the soul? It's the heavenly bridegroom. Taken up with him. Again, from the Song of Songs. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What's so special about him? Ah, she says he's the chiefest, he's the fairest amongst 10,000 to my soul. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. That's who satisfieth the soul. That man of Calvary won my heart from me, died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. David says, bless the Lord. And when he's there, when he's lifted up, no wonder then he starts to think of the angels. verse 22. It's as though he's then asking for the angels to join with him. Verse 22, bless the Lord, he says, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to his voice. Then he says, bless the Lord, O ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Then he says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Everybody join in with me, he says. Universal praise. And he finishes where he started. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Celebrate with praises. Sing the praises of the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Removal, so far as the east is from the west. Forgiven all our iniquities. Revival, he healeth all our diseases. Redemption, he redeemeth our life from destruction. Regalia, he crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. And what about renewal? He satisfieth the mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I trust this morning that we all recognize we have much to praise God for, much to thank him for. Don't leave it to others. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Our closing hymn, please. Our closing hymn this morning, when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Let's stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. We thank thee for its truth, truth unchanging, truth abiding. Now, Father, we pray that thou will give each and every one of us a hearing ear and an understanding heart, that our desire and prayer might truly be, breathe on me, breath of God, and fill me with life anew, that I might love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Our Father, bless and thank thee again for the privilege of being here. We thank thee indeed for all thy blessings, innumerable, countless blessings that we all enjoy. Our Father, we pray for those that have to leave us just now. Bless them. Be with those of us that remain as we wait to remember our Lord. And our Father, we pray that thou take us to home in safety and be with those that remain, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.